Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you. I'm used to spending my time with a bunch of high schoolers and middle schoolers, so I love when I can have some dialogue and chat and have some conversations, so I appreciate that. In light of that, I want to start with a little activity. I'm not going to ask you guys to do too much, so don't run away. But I just want a raise of hands if you guys have ever been on a road trip. Anybody out there hopped in a car and driven somewhere far? Yeah? Okay, sweet. Now I want you to tell me if you are sick of the weather. Raise your hand. All right, good. Hey, hold them up. Hold them up. Keep them up there. Everybody look around just a little bit. Okay, we're not alone. We can do this. Now I want you to raise your hand if you love the snow. Like, if you're like, keep it coming, I'm going to snowmobile ski, all that. Okay, wait, hold them up. Everybody check out these faces and hang out with them in the next week so that you can get some encouragement and some life into this weather. If you guys are sick of the weather or really excited about it, you are in the right place today because we're going to spend a lot of time talking about snow. We're going to have some space to complain about it and be real about it, but we're also going to have hopefully like a little bit of hope as we leave here today. So thanks for coming out with us. Speaking of road trips, I went on a road trip a couple summers ago with my sister and her now husband and all of our siblings. We hopped in the car and we drove the 20-some hours that it takes to get up to Banff, Canada. Anybody been there? Yeah? Okay, so you know how great it is. We went up there, we were hiking all day in these amazing mountains. We were swimming in these teal glacial lakes, and we were sleeping at night in a tent under these amazing huge pine trees in the mountains. And I can for sure say that I have never spent a week in so much awe and like love and glory of our world. It was just purely incredible. If you know me at all, you know that I love the stars. I am that person that is walking into my house at night, and if it's a clear night, I'm like in my driveway just like staring at the sky, taking in the stars, which was fine when I lived out in the country with my parents, and now that I live in town in Cloquet, my neighbors are probably a little concerned at this girl that's just like standing in the driveway at night. But I love the stars because they give me that same sense of awe and wonder that I felt when we were on this road trip and just like exploring all of these new amazing things. I think that when we're in the stars or when we're in nature, when we're in our happy place, we have this sense of wonder. For me, especially when I'm staring at the stars, I see this whole like galaxy and all of these constellations and black holes and movement and things that I don't understand, like I can't fully wrap my head around them. And so it causes me to like love God more because I'm like in awe of his brilliance and of his like creativity and his wonder. But at the same time, it's like this weird feeling because even though I don't understand it, I still feel at peace when I'm looking at it. Like there's this God out there that can create and hold and sustain and move all of this stuff, yet at the same time, he knows me too, that he meets me too. So on this road trip, because of my love for stars, this experience that I feel like I have when I look at the stars, I was super excited to have campfire at the end of a long day, look at the stars, and just rest after hiking a bunch. Unfortunately, there were a bunch of wildfires happening in Canada when we were there, and so that kind of X'd our plans of sitting around the campfire at the end of the night, and it also kind of took away some of those stars from me. Luckily, though, our trip didn't end there. We drove down to Glacier National Park, and then I got my moment. So we finished dinner one night, the stars came out, we headed out of our campsites to get some silence, and we went down to a lake in Glacier. And we were sitting on the edge of this lake, and the stars were just as brilliant as you could imagine, or as I had hoped. And I'm sitting there on the edge of this lake, and the stars are out, the stars are reflecting on the water, I'm with these people that I love a ton, and we just had this very small but very profound conversation about God, and about heaven, and about where God is, and how he meets us in the midst of all of that. And I felt like sitting there on this shore, even in a short period, God came down and sat with us, that he came down and he's met me right there, and he sat with us. So I wish that I was an astronomer and could like talk to you guys all day about stars and constellations and all of that. I'm not. Maybe in the future. But instead, today we're going to talk about something that still takes my breath away and still causes me to wonder. You guys might have guessed it. We're going to talk about the snow. So you guys might also wonder about the snow. You might wonder if it's ever going to stop. You might wonder why you still live here. You might wonder where your kids' other mittens went in the midst of all the snow. Or you might actually pause and like wonder at the beauty of it. You might pause when the snowflakes are gently coming down, maybe not like today, but on another day, when the snowflake is gently falling and you can pause and like look at that and take in that beauty. Or maybe it takes your breath away even a little bit. I think that in nature, we see a lot of God's creativity. We see a lot of his character come out. And I think that God is creative enough and brilliant enough that he teaches us through anything and everything in our life, right down to the snow. So that's where we're going to go a little bit today. But first, I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to open our Bibles a little bit. So if you guys would pray with me, I would love that. So God, I ask that you become more present in this place. And I thank you that in everything going on in this world or our lives, that you still want to come and meet us. So would you help us today to pay attention to what you're doing in our hearts and our minds and our souls? Would you help us to say yes and respond to you and your goodness? We love you, Jesus, and we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather today. Amen. All right, so if you guys grabbed a Bible from the table outside or brought one with you, we are going to start right in the beginning, so you can hop open to Genesis chapter 1, just the first couple pages in. And what we're going to look at here is creation. You guys may have been here a million times before. We have the creation of light, of night and day. We have the creation of the birds and the fish and the land and the sea and the skies and the heavens, all the creeping things around us. We see God bring forth all of this stuff. And what does he proclaim it? It's good. Yeah, he says it's good. I think it's good too. I love being outside. So he calls all these things good. And then he comes to his prized creation, humankind, me, all of you. And in Genesis 1, 26 through 27, it's on the screen if you want to read along. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all of the creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So this might be a passage you've heard many times. Maybe you even know the concept that's wrapped up in this passage. We call it Imago Dei. And the concept here is that rather than the grand strength of the mountains or the mystery of the ocean or the creativity of all those creatures that we see, those things reflect God's character and his nature. But above all of that, God wanted you and he wanted me and he wanted all of the people out there to reflect his power and his image and his goodness above all else that we see. Imago Dei, meaning that you are the prized possession. You're the prized creation. So go back to the stars with me. Stare up at that beautiful night, or go to your happy place, stare out at that lake at the cabin or wherever it is, and just think about that for a second. Over that happy place, over that beauty, God says that you are more beautiful than that. That you are more special, that you behold more greatness than even those mountains or those stars. Kind of a big thing to sit in, right? Pretty cool. So we have Genesis chapter 1, where God creates everything. He creates order. He creates structure. And then we go into chapter 2, and we see this like zoomed-in narrative of God's creation of humankind. So chapter 2, verse 7 reads, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So here we have this concept of God's breath giving us life. It gave us life. It gave us a spirit. It gave us power and movement, and gave us this act of dominion and this place in the world. And if we look at a literal translation here of God's breath meeting humankind, the way that they kind of recorded it is if God had just come down and kissed his creation. He came down and he kissed humankind and he gave them life. So as many times as we look at Genesis for whatever theme or lesson we pull out of it, what I love about Genesis is in my mind, it breaks down this concept that we have this manipulative or angry God. I think sometimes when we experience hard things in life or we have questions, we can go to that place of, well, God's just far away. God's just mad at me. God's just up there playing with his puppets. But if we actually take a minute and we look at the creation account, God didn't need anything, but he wanted something. He wanted love. He wanted relationship. He wanted you. He wanted those stars to shine and to give us something to wonder at and connect with him over. And then God, when we think of him far off and distant, God comes down, he sits with his humankind, and he kisses them with life. It's like this beautiful picture of our creator, this big guy in the sky who we think of, coming down and meeting us right where we're at. And not only meeting us, but meeting us with this act of affection, this act of love. So all it took for billions of galaxies, all those stars in the sky, those mountains, those crazy animals that we see running around, all it took was a little bit of God's breath and some words and some love, and everything was brought forth. Everything was brought forth in order. We have the seasons. We have the rotation of the world. We have the sun that keeps us warm enough, but not too warm where we're going to fry up. And I think that we have to start here today when we talk about snow and when we talk about seasons, because when we stand on the truth that God created us in goodness, that God's in control of what's going on, and that above all, God loves us and sees us and comes to us, when we start there and stand on those things, then I think it changes absolutely everything that we interact with in life. Changes the way that we see ourselves, changes the way that we see the world, and I think it might even change the way that we see the snowflakes or the wind outside today. So, like many of you know, I work with students here. So on Wednesday nights, we have our youth group. And this past Wednesday, if you remember, it was snowing and blowing out there like crazy. So I'm at home. I have the news on all day waiting for like weather updates to come through. I'm watching all of the school announcements to see if school sports are still on. I'm watching the road maps to see the road conditions. I'm checking the hourly radar, doing all these things to say, okay, what's happening with the snow? Are we going to have youth group? Is this going to be safe? So I'm doing all this stuff on Wednesday, paying attention, looking out my window a lot. And then the very next day, the sun comes out, right? You guys remember how awesome Thursday was? The sun comes out. I'm shoveling in a sweatshirt. I can actually like feel the heat of the sun on my face for the first time in a long time. The birds are even chirping, and it feels like spring. And I was thinking to myself as I was outside enjoying the sun, what if we paid attention to what God's doing in our internal seasons as much as we pay attention to what God's doing outside in our external seasons? What if I paid attention to the things that I'm feeling or the things that God might be doing inside of me just as much as I pay attention to the road conditions on the highway? I think that God is continually moving. He's continually rotating this world and the seasons. He's continually bringing forth goodness as things grow outside. But I also think that that's very true for me and for each of you as well, that God is continually bringing forth new things. He's continually reforming us, bringing forth new light, and making us into more whole and loving and generous people. So Jesus, as you can imagine, actually addresses this whole concept. If you guys want to flip with me to Luke 12, we're going to read a couple passages from there. So Luke 12, 54 through 56 reads, "And he said to the crowd, 'When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it is going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it is going to be hot, and it is. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret the present time?'" So Jesus, this guy, who we talk about being fully human, fully God, fully good, fully patient, fully loving. He uses a pretty harsh word here, right? A word that maybe even as Christians we hear or we clam up with. Hypocrites. Now, Jesus being fully human and fully God and fully knowing, I think uses this word on purpose. He knows the response we're going to have to that, right? He knows we're going to be caught off guard. He says, you hypocrites, you know what's going on outside. You know when the snow is coming. You know when the birds are chirping, it means spring. But what is God actually doing in your midst? Where is his kingdom, his goodness, his love actually at work within you or within the people around you? The same way that you're going to make decisions to cancel Roots on Wednesday night, are you going to make decisions to like call forth and bring forth that goodness that's happening in my kingdom, in my realm, outside as well? So physically, we're all in winter. We're well aware of that. But this question I've been asking myself a lot is, where am I internally? So that's my question for you too. Where are you internally right now? What are you feeling with your job? What are you processing with your family? How are your friendships? What might God be doing in the midst of all of that? In the midst of inside you? So we're going to read from Ecclesiastes 3 for a little bit of a pause. And if it helps you guys to read along, I want you to do that. But if it helps you to just pause for a second, shut your eyes and listen and see what God brings up, I invite you to do that as well. Now, Ecclesiastes 3, you might have heard before. You might hear it in different situations of life. You might read it maybe on a like yearly basis to see what God's doing in your life. But I think that there's something positive when we have familiar things in our life that we can go back to. I think it creates a good space for God to like bring truth and bring life out of that. So I'm going to read, and I want you guys to just pay attention to anything that God might bring up or highlight as I read through these phrases. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. There's a time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. There is a time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. So as we read through that, we see that there's a lot of options out there for our life, right? There's a lot of times for a lot of different things. So as we read, was there anything that stood out to you? What is your time right now? If something popped out, feel free to like type it in your phone and go back to it. Spend some time with Jesus about that. Scribble it on your hand or something. Or maybe spend some time later this week just like sitting with this passage and mulling over these different times and say, hey God, what are you doing in this time right now? And see what he has to say about it. But in a more broad question, what season are you in? When I think of summer, I think of a lot of happiness. I think of sunshine. Everything's light and growing, right? There's color everywhere. The season that brings me back to is my sister's wedding this past summer, when it felt like God's kingdom and heaven was just on every drop of every moment. There was a ton of laughing, dancing, awesome food, so many awesome relationships and friendships, like all gathered in one place for the week. And it was like just flourishing, right? That's the word that I can think of when I think of summer. Maybe you're in summer right now, in your spirit, in your heart, in your mind. Then I think of fall, when there's all this transition going on outside. These trees that we've looked at the same way all summer long now have new colors. They now have new light. They're showing us new things. There's like different smells in the air with fall, right? So it's this time of like our senses maybe coming alive a little bit. We see things in a new way. And what I think of when I think of fall is when I first started my job here. And I'm meeting all these new people, and I'm doing all these new things, and everything's like fresh and giving me new perspectives. You're just like outside in the crisp of that and just taking it all in. Maybe you're in the fall too. Or then there's spring, when everything is like being rooted out of something new. There's maybe hope for the summer, hope for a new life, kind of this anticipation of what's to come in the year, in the season. When I think of spring, I think of my summer before college, when I'm super excited to go live in a new place. I'm going to meet new friends. I'm going to learn a lot. I'm going to be independent. But then there's maybe this underlying fear of that anticipation of, I don't actually know what that's going to feel like to walk into this new season of life, to go conquer this new stage. And then we come to winter, which maybe by a lot of conversations I've had with you guys recently or what I've seen on social media, this might be the actual internal season that a lot of us feel like we've been in at the tail end here of our actual physical winter that we have out there. So if I'm honest, winter internally and externally is where I've been at in the last season or a few weeks of my life. And some of you might be in winter per se because of something that's brought on by like a real life event, maybe grief of losing a loved one or something going on in your families. Maybe it's divorce or sickness. But for me, this season of winter, this internal winter, this like gunk, this heaviness, this fog that I feel like I kind of been in, hasn't been brought on by a specific event, which I actually feel like might be a little bit harder for us to like understand, right? To fathom, to like work our way out of, because that's not just like, I just need to get better and then things will get better. I just need to fix my relationships and then things will get better. But it's like this ambiguous problem maybe that we perceive. So I get stuck in all these questions when I find myself in funks like these. I ask myself, God, where are you? Or what are you doing? Why am I not happy right now? What am I supposed to tell people? Am I supposed to just keep going around and saying, everything's okay, we're all okay? Or sometimes I ask myself the harsh question of like, what do you actually have to complain about? There are a lot of people in worse situations than you. So I try to diminish what it is I'm processing or what I'm feeling. And a couple weeks ago when I was going over my notes with Chris, I had all these questions typed out, and he looked up and he's grinning and he's smiling at me. He's like, Kaylee, these are great questions. And I like scoffed at him and I rolled my eyes. And by the way, work for Chris because you can do that kind of stuff to your boss. But I scoffed and I rolled my eyes and he kind of looked at me puzzled. And I said, they're great questions if you have answers for them, but they're not great questions if you just feel like you're buried under them. Like if you're continually asking yourself, God, what's up? What are you doing? What's going on? Why do I feel like this? How can I fix this? I'm like a doer and a mover. And so I want to like put the Band-Aid on, fix the problem, and like go on to the next thing. And so in the winter, when things are slower, when things are dormant, when I just have to sit with these questions for a while, it's been super hard. And so the way that I've been thinking about this is driving. Earlier this winter, I found myself in the ditch because of some slippery roads. And so I have been like the most ultra cautious driver this year. And I've been thinking about driving as I've been thinking about these questions. Sometimes we're in seasons where we can just roll the windows down and cruise and we're like getting where we need to go. And then there's other times, like this season, this winter, when we have to be cautious, when we have to like premeditate where we're going and when we're going, when we have to slow down and like take those corners easier or stop further ahead and be more cautious. And so I've been thinking about this invitation that I feel like God is giving me and maybe giving you too, to just like sit, to like pause with those questions and to just ask him like, God, what are you doing right now? Will you just meet me in it? I don't need the next 5 steps. I don't need the fix-all or the Band-Aid, but God, will you just like sit with me? Will you give me some hope and will you meet me in it? Now, I think that there's of course a time to like uproot all those questions and like get to the base of those. That's kind of spring, right? Where we actually like get our answers, we plant new things, we bring forth fruit. But maybe where I'm at right now, maybe where you're at right now, is just this invitation that God has to say, will you just let me be with you? Will you pause and just let me come? So, a couple weeks ago, this person I follow on Instagram to get all these cool hikes and things because I like being outside, she posted this photo of this snowy winter day, and I looked at it because I know that she loves winter, so I follow her specifically to get like a little bit of oomph and hope when the snow is out there. And this is what she wrote with the caption of her snowy winter picture. She said, "It's snowing and blowing around like crazy out there right now, and my heart is happy. Watching the snow drifts pile up feels refreshingly still, and every inch we get helps soften the sounds of everyday life. Keep on falling, snow." So her narrative of this snowing and blowing actually like has a positive tone to it, right? Where my narrative feels chaotic and crazy, like something we just have to like put our head down and get through, she has this narrative of like, pause, actually enjoy it, soften everything else in life and like just enjoy it, be out there in the midst of it. So do you guys remember where we started this morning? With God being our creator, with God loving you more than absolutely anything that he created, more than the seasons, more than the coming and the going. I think it's important to start there because those truths are what bring us back to this perspective shift of, okay, God, I can trust you. I can trust whatever season I'm in, both physically or internally in my soul and my heart. I can trust that whatever season I'm in, you're God and you're good and you're up to something. It doesn't have to feel good right now. We don't have to have all the answers right now, but I can just sit with you, God, in it. So think for a second about those big Minnesota pine trees we have around Cloquet here. They probably have a lot of snow on them right now, right? Their boughs are like weighted down with the weight of that sticky snow that we've gotten time and time again this winter. And I don't think that these trees are out there standing there as like a punishment, that they're just like waiting for summer. Maybe they are. But what I've seen as I've gone through J.Cook this winter is like these snow-covered trees standing in just like absolute majesty and beauty and strength. I don't think that God created these trees to like sit out there as a punishment in this winter season. The same way that I don't think God brings these seasons of stillness or a pause to me as a punishment, but as an opportunity to just like grow in strength. The same way that those trees grow up and grow in strength year after year, winter after winter, they get the nourishment that they need in the summer when things are thriving and good and easy, and then they can withstand and be stable and sturdy in those winter months too. Those trees have been like kind of an anthem for me this winter because we've gotten this sticky so many times. So I can go to my grandparents' house, I can go to J. Cook, and I can walk around in the trees and say, God, if these trees are still standing, I can still stand too. I think that's also true for you guys. If those trees are out there still standing in the snow and the winter and the harsh, I think that you guys can still stand too because that's our God. He'll keep you up there. So we say a lot around here that Jesus came to bring life and life to the fullest. I don't think that if we only live in spring, that we're living a full life. I think that we're living a sliver of life. And I think that if we put our head down and march our way through these seasons of winter or of pause or of stillness, we're not living the fullness and the depth of life that God created for us, but we're living a sliver of life. So I think the invitation today is to continue with that question. God, where am I at? What are you doing right now? And will you meet me in it? I know for me, there have been seasons of my life where I meet God in different ways. Sometimes all I need is some worship going on in the room, and I walk in and I'm just like ushered into his presence, and I'm jamming and I'm feeling good. Other times what I need is a walk outside to actually be quiet and to say, God, will you reveal yourself in my surroundings right now? Maybe what you need is to pursue new friendships or a small group. Maybe it's making an appointment with a mental health professional to like talk through some things. Maybe it's scheduling in some time in your life to just have some fun. I don't know what it is for you, but maybe sit with that question today. How is it that God might meet you in whatever season it is that you're in? This is a pretty specific suggestion, but you guys should look up the song Seasons by Hillsong or look up the song Snow by Sleeping at Last. Those are two songs that I helped to like sing this anthem of truth over me. Like, God, you're in process. You're doing something here, and I will wait on you in it. And lastly, a way that we can receive God or meet him in the midst of the season that we're in is through prayer. So if you guys want to stand with me, we're going to take some time to do that right now. And ministry team, if you guys are around, you can make your way down too. So the two big questions. Where are you at internally? What season are you experiencing? And number two, where might God meet you in that? The same way that he'll meet us as we look at the stars, I think that he can meet us even in this gym. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to just ask God to come and speak, to maybe bring some thoughts or answers to those questions, and then we're going to have an opportunity to pray with you about it as well. So if you guys want to just settle. So Jesus, I ask that you come and speak individually to each of us right now. God, whether it be a word or a memory, even a song, would you show us where we're at? And instead of trying to run away or fix it, would you just meet us there? Would you help us to just be in peace? And God, if there's an invitation for us to meet you in that in a new way, would you show us what that is right now? God, where do you want to meet us? Jesus, I thank you so much that you are constantly working all things for good. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so maybe it's the Holy Spirit, maybe it's just common sense. I feel like some of us here could use some prayer for just energy and like new light and life and fullness. So if that's you, we would love to have you guys come down and receive some prayer down over here with our prayer teams. I also feel like there's an invitation for peace today. That this concept we feel when we just have to like run through whatever season it is, whether it's good or hard or easy, whatever season it is that you feel like you're in, I feel like God wants to say, like, it's okay to be there. It's okay to not always feel good. Or maybe if you're in a season of thriving and greatness and you have this pending fear of, like, when's the next hard thing coming? When is this goodness going to end? I feel like God also wants to say, like, it's okay to live in it. It's okay to live in the goodness and the joy for right now. To, like, let that fear of what's next melt away and just enjoy where you're at. So if you would like prayer for either of those two things or absolutely anything else going on in your life, whether it be physical or with relationships, job stuff, anything going on, we'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, thank you so much for coming to the Cloquet Vineyard. I hope that you guys actually get out and enjoy some of the weather this week, and maybe we'll see you again next weekend.